I decided, after much deliberation, once we completed Derech Hashem, thank you to Johnny for being with us completing Derech Hashem. So we were deliberating what to do, what
see
not
him.
To do. What? To see him. I can see him on that book. I heard he's going to make a baruch shabbat tarani.
We'll eat our vegetables.
Yeah. And we were back and forth, topical, whatever, and I didn't want to do something that was only topical, because the problem with topical things is there's no continuity, there's no sense of accomplishment. Well, we learned whatever we learned, you know what I'm saying, very good, I did a discussion. And I was going back and forth, and I thought one of the things that I study that I really very, very much enjoy is I just have a deep appreciation for and love of Ma'amari Chazal. Whether it's on Kumash, whether it's on the Navi, but even the Gemara. And my grandfather used to say, he told me once, he said that people think Agadita is Bava Mises and it's stories, but they don't really understand that it was Chazal's way of communicating. Sometimes they couldn't communicate what they wanted to say. Sometimes they hid what they wanted to say. Sometimes they come out right and say what they want to say. But Chazal, you know, they're the basis of everything that we have. They're the basis of Torah Shebaal Peh. And for whatever reason, somehow, Ein Yaakov, and somehow Agadita got relegated to, how should we say this in a nice way, Vaibish Zachim. You know, the Ein Yaakov, or at least the top, was never considered, you know, recently, a recent ilk. Like serious material, but as we're going to see, there's a lot of serious material. It is the source for much of the of Machshavat Yisrael, much of Jewish thought is based on the Agadah. What's also beautiful is that it's very open, and we're going to see we're going to study basically together two major approaches to Agadah. One is of Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is not the Agadah itself. People consider the Ein Yaakov, when you open up a book of Ein Yaakov, it's basically all the Gemara without the Gemara in it. Right? It's basically a list of all the Agadah. But the Agadah is not the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is the commentary of Rabbi Yaakov ibn Habib, who was of the Gaonei Sfarad. I think it was from Salonika, ibn Habib. Yeah. Okay? And if you're looking, like, let's say, for example, just on the sheet we have on page 5, which is the first Ein Yaakov we're going to see, he calls himself HaKotev. Right? HaKotev is the Ein Yaakov. That's him. Okay? And if you look in the actual Ein Yaakov itself, there are new, like, this I scanned in from the very beautiful new edition. So it's really easy to read and follow. Okay? But he has a commentary we're going to see. He has a very powerful commentary. He uses the Agadita to try to derive things. The other commentary we're going to learn is as different as possibly can be, which is the Ein Ayah of Rav Kook. Right? I mean, in my experience, I'm not aware of that many other really comprehensive works on Agadita. You know, we're going to see also this, what? Of Maharal.
Yeah.
Is that like open in order? I've never studied Maharal.
No, but the Baragola was a response to a pamphlet that challenged the rabbinic authority and the Agadah specifically.
Does he go like a seder, or he just?
There is a seder for.
No, I'm saying in Brachot, does he do it on the Gemara?
But there is Chidushi Agadot for the Maharal on Brachot. I think
I got to get that. Really?
I have it. I'll bring it.
Send it down. Okay, that's another one. It's really fascinating. Ibn Habib lived in the 15th century, I think, 16th century, right? And Maharal is 1500s. Since then, and after that, did the Vilna Gaon write a commentary on Agadita that we're aware of? Not really. And the last, and you'll see actually that Rav Kook uses this as a springboard for him to write basically his Hashgacha. If you want to, so it's really a beautiful, it's a great window into Rav Kook, as we'll see. It's really a great window into his worldview, because he uses the Gemara just as a springboard to say things that he ever wants to say. Now I will say, Rav Kook is hard to read. Pretty much everything he writes is hard to read. Okay, so I think what I'd like to do is start with the first piece is really a small Rav Kook piece, and then we'll skip over and we'll do a little bit of the Ein Yaakov itself. Okay, so we'll start. It's obviously from Masechet Brachot. Okay, and we'll read the Mishnah, we'll read the Gemara. Okay, basically the Gemara is Ein Yaakov is the stuff. Like, it's the Gemara, we're skipping all the halacha stuff. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah says the following. Ba'arvin, I don't know what that means. When do you read Kriyat Shema in the evening? From the time the Kohanim go into eat their Truma, meaning, if a Kohen became Tameh, it's called Ha'arav Shemesh. When a Kohen became Tameh, when a kohen became tamei, he was not allowed to eat. He was not allowed to eat truma until he went to the mikvah and he waited till nightfall. So from nightfall until sof ha'ashmara rishona, we'll get into that, what that means, till the end of the first watch. Rabbi Gamliel says you have all the way. You can say kriyat shema until the morning. So his sons came home from the party, right, from a wedding of some kind, and said, so we didn't say Shema. They probably were coming in from a long night of party, and he probably had already gotten up in the morning. They said, Abba, what do we do? And he said, you gotta say Kriyat Shema. And not only that, anytime the Mishnah said until Chatzot, it's really Amud HaShachar. Hekter chalavim ve'evarim mitzvatam ba'amud HaShachar. In the Beit HaMikdash, when they would offer korbanot, right, the mitzvah, they would have to do it by until Chatzot, but it's really until Amud HaShachar. V'chol ne'achalim liyom echad, any korban that was only eaten for one day, meaning the night and the night, mitzvatan anshe Amud HaShachar.
Except for Pesach.
What? Even Pesach.
Pesach?
Ar Chatzot. One second, no. What?
Shalom, you could have till the next day, or
was it mitzvah until Amud HaShachar? Or the Chachamim made it? He says, "Imkain lama amu chachamim mar chatzot." Why the Chachamim say "nechol chatzot"? Because they have harchikadam in haveira. Because they don't. So, and by the way, it's a very important mitzvah thing in general. This is a very beautiful opening to the, all of Shas. Meaning, what the Chachamim do? What do the Chachamim do? What do they see their mission as? Harchikadam in haveira. Like so much of the deal of the Rabbanan that exists today are in order to prevent us from sinning, or in order to keep us like on the straight and narrow, as it were. Okay? Very good. So we're going to do the first piece of the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Michdei. Kohanim, eimat ka'achle bitruma. When do they eat truma? Mishat tzedek kochavim. Right? From nightfall. So litnei, mishat tzedek kochavim. So then why did the Gemara, why did the Mishnah just say tzedek kochavim? Why did it say, mi ashmora rishnona? So the Gemara says, no, milta agav urta kamashmola. Agav urta kamashmola. It teaches you, by the way, Kohanim eimat kachle truma. When do they eat truma? Mishat tzeta kochavim. Dekamash malan. And it teaches you dekapara lo meakva. So in order for a kohen, let's say you did a certain kind of sin, you had to bring a korban. You became tame, and then you had to bring a korban. So it teaches you that in order to eat truma, you don't have to wait to bring the korban, but instead you just have to wait until nightfall. Kiditanya, as it says, uba hashemesh v'taher. When the sun goes down, it becomes purified. Biat shimsho me'akvato lechol truma. Ve'en kaparato me'akvato lechol truma. So the Gemara learns out that when the sunset is the thing that prevents him from eating truma, but not his kapara, not his korban. Says Gemara, mimai dehai uba shemesh biat shemesh, v'hai v'taher taher yoma. How do I know that that's what it really means? That it means nightfall, right, and then the day is metaher. Dilma biat orohu, umai v'taher taher gavra. Maybe the Gemara is saying, maybe what the pasuk really means is, uba shemesh the next morning, Vitaher, and he brings his korban, and he becomes purified himself. Amar Abar Sheila Imkein Lemakra Viyitar, and he will be purified. My Vitaher, what does it mean? Vitaher, Taher Yoma, the day purifies. Kede Amre Inche, the Gemara says, like people say, right? Iarev Shimsha Viidke Yoma, right? The sun goes down, and the day passes. So the Gemara continues. We're just going to read through the piece. But Ma'arava, in the west, what is in the west? According to the Gemara?
Yeah.
Here, Eretz Yisrael. Right, they were east. B'ma'arava, hadu rabbi barshelu, lo shimiyalu. They didn't learn it. They asked it in a question. Bar le mi bai. Hayu ba shemesh biat shim shahu. Umay v'taher, tahar yoma. O dilma biat orahu, umay v'taher, tahar gavra. Which is it? Is it the nightfall? Or is it the actual kapar that a guy has to have? B'hadar pashu le mi b'raita. And then they learned it from a b'raita, miditani b'raita. Siman le davar tzeta kochavim. Right, we learn from the fact there's a siman that it must be tzedek kochavim. Shema mina, but our food is not good enough for you. You have to bring your own dinner. Shema mina.
But for dinner, I don't want to eat everything that's on the table.
From this, we learn biat shimshahu umay v'taher tahar yoma. Last piece. Bottom line. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben hashmashot keheref ayin. What is ben hashmashot keheref ayin? Keheref ayin means it's like the bat of an eye. Zen nichnas. This is a very interesting, like, throw in line. We know, like, there's day, and then there's night. So what's between day and night? What's called Bein Hashmashot. So it comes on there. How long is, by the way, is Bein Hashmashot for us now? How long have you been in Gnesh Mishneh?
18 minutes.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, here in Eretz Yisrael, it's much shorter, for whatever reason. Chutz La'aretz, it's anywhere between 45 minutes up to, or, you know, 72 minutes. You hold like a Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because you have sunset. And what is it? Is it yesterday? Is it still night? And then you have until nightfall. So Tzedek Kochavim. Okay, but the Gemara is saying something very strange. The Gemara is saying that, no, Tzedek Kochavim, but Ben HaShemashot is terrifying. It's like this. Why? Because up to a certain point, it's day. And then, almost immediately, it's night. So how long is Ben HaShemashot? Very, very, very short. Very, very limited. Okay. On this comment, okay, let's look, we're going to see the end. We're going to see Rav Kook's comment on page 3. Okay, so Rav Kook is going to comment about this, not the notion of Kriyat Shema Be'arvit and Kriyat Shema of Shacharit. Okay, so it says Rav Kook the following. Look on page 3. Me'imatai korin Kriyat Shema Be'arvit Misha'a Sha'koanim Nichnasim Be'chol B'Trumatan. Why does the Mishnah use the example of the Kohanim as the example of Misha'a Sha'koanim? So the Gemara says, oh, it's just like to teach you that the Kohanim ate their truma at nightfall. It's Tera Kochavim. Really? Does it not strike you as unusual that the Kohanim were that the Chazal connected Kohanim to Kriyat Shema at night? What's the relevance of the Kohanim to Kriyat Shema at night? Why specifically are the Kohanim the example for Kriyat Shema at night? Everybody understand the question?
Could have been anything.
Could have been anything. I mean, what's the obvious thing that you would say? The Gemara asks, what should it really say? Me'imatai korin Kriyat Shema, what? Tzedek Kochavim. The Gemara says, well, from this we learn that the Kohanim ate a Tzedek Kochavim. You had to add that extra. Oh, you were saving that. You had to add that extra. Oh, you're bringing out the big guns. Okay. Yes. What? Yes. You mean, he's waiting to see how many people showed up.
Sweet.
Right. But it's an excellent question. The question is, why would the Chazal throw in Kohanim in this discussion? They're really not relevant. Right. What do I care when the Kohanim ate their truma or not ate their truma?
The timing of the Ham Nerubam.
Of the?
Ham is the people know there's like set times of their day that they know.
Yeah, nightfall. When's the time you can say Shema? Nightfall.
Right,
so it's obvious, if I were to ask you, when can I start saying Shema in Arvit? When the stars come out. So if you answer me and you say to me, when can this time can I start saying Arvit? You say, well, when the Kohanim eat their truma. Thank you very much. And when is that? Oh, that's nightfall. So why don't you just say nightfall? So Rav Kook says that there's a reason, that there's a connection, that in the first mission, the Chazal wanted to connect between the idea of saying Kriyat Shema and Kohanim. Why? We'll see in a second. Says Rav Kook, Kriyat Shema shel Arvit v'shel Shacharit. The Kriyat Shema of night and day, Morim al Bet, Minei hakriya b'shem Hashem amutelet al Yisrael. We call in the name of God in two different ways. Anu tzrichim lekabel o malchut shemaim al atzmenu. A, we accept Shema upon ourselves. We're mekabel o malchut shemaim. V'lifol gamkein b'kriyat shem Hashem echad shelanu. Shesov kol sof yakiu v'yedu ko yeshvei tevel. Ki Hashem elokei Yisrael melech u malchuto mekam hashalam. Says we have two missions. One mission is internal. We accept the Torah for ourselves. But the second mission is external. Our job is we are supposed to bring the name of God to the rest of the world. How are we supposed to do that? How do we do that? Do we engage in that at all? What?
Emulate his Christ.
No. How are we supposed to make the nations of the world call in the name of God? Oh, so he says, look.
Example unto other nations.
What do they care? See, this is the trick. And this is, and maybe understood, it's understood in his theology. The Jewish people, as a religion, scattered among the nations, have no standing whatsoever. We're not a people. We're a religion trying to hang on. Okay? So when you're a religion trying to hang on, what do? You go into hibernation mode. And when you go into hibernation mode, the best that you can hope for is that your children grow up to be as Jewish as you do. Maybe a little more. Okay? If you perpetuated your religion to the next generation, that's success. I mean, you ever see that? There's a thing somebody said around Facebook. You know, how many children, how many you expect to be Jewish? Or, you ever see that thing? Did you send it? No? The genealogy thing, like if you're a reform, Like if you're Reformed, then like, you know, in three generations, like you basically there's half a Jew left. And if you're like modern Orthodox, in three generations there's like 20 of you. And if you're like Haredi, in like three generations like a million of you. You know, nobody ever saw that? It's like, but it's an accurate chart, it's a demographic chart. So we're very happy as long as we're, you know, holding our own. That's our job. Says our cook, that's not our job. Our job is really to spread the gospel of the Lord. Right? So for whatever reason, that's become a non-Jewish idea. But it's really a very, very Jewish idea. Okay? So he says the following. Hinei begalut, I'm in the fifth line, sixth line. In exile, hadome le'erev. Galut is like the evening, the night. Why is it night? Because in night, it's the lack of light. It's the hiddenness of God. Okay? Ikar pu'ulatenu hirak benogea le'atzmenu. All we're worried about at night is ourselves. Kedei la'amod bipnei ha'galim she'ovrim aleinu. Ba'oz shem Hashem. We're just trying to, like, the waves are washing over us, and we're just trying to stay afloat. Okay, that's what night is all about. You just want to get to the morning. Alkein b'layla shayach emuna. Mishlo amar emet ve'emuna arvit lo yatzei de chovato. That's why we say emet ve'emuna. Why do we say emet ve'emuna at night? Because emet ve'emuna, you have to have your faith in order to withstand the crushing waves of persecution, challenge, assimilation, whatever they are. That's emet ve'emuna. Ki le'atzmeinu dai lanu he'emuna ve'kabalat ha'emet me'avoteinu. Right, when I am a kabbal ol malchut shamayim at night, I do that for myself. Shira'u ayin ba'ayin or Hashem b'chvodo. So we saw with the light of God. Amnam, yet, be'et ha'geula shetarom keren Yisrael. But in the time of redemption, when the horn of Israel will be terom, raised up, az memele tavoshat ha'pula shal kriyat shema d'shacharit. Then it's going to be Kriyat Shema in the morning. Ahava Rabba. Shekol ha'amim yomru she'or Yisrael ye'or la'olam. Meaning, the job of the Jewish people is not just to make more Jewish people. We seem to have forgotten that. This goes back to our Derech Hashem discussion, right? Our job at some point is to turn outward and to make the world a better place. The only way, Rav Kook believed this, and I think this is a very, like, you know, our religious Zionist idea. The only way you can do this is by having a nation. You don't do this by being scattered among, by influencing individuals. You don't do it just by, you know, they look at you and say how nice you are. It's very nice, it's very important, but you bring about Kiddush Hashem through this idea of Am Yisrael, through this nation. Al Kain, Az Yidgaluta Ame Torah, then the reasons for the Torah will be revealed. Velo Ye'or Yikrot V'kifa'on. I'm not entirely sure what this means. I looked it up, I couldn't find it. It will not be light of Yakrut, cherished only yakar to ourselves. I think kipa'on means like from kafui, from frozen, right? Frozen, right?
Isn't it oppressed?
What's that?
Oppressed.
Kipa'on is oppression. Look it up in the translate. You anybody have a translate? Can you know how to do that? Google translate. You know how to translate? I can look it up myself. Why do you think we have these things for?
Game.
What?
YouTube.
Yeah, that too. You don't have Google Translate? I use it all the time. On this thing. Second. Yeah. Ah.
What's that?
What is that thing? I don't even know what that is. Keep on.
Not
with a yud? Stagnation. Ah, stagnation. I said frozen. It's the same from
where, where's he going with this? All I'm going?
1 second. Elu ta'am etar shikrem velazem fuyim yu la'ati levo. Ki leman karev rechokim. In order to bring those who are like not kiruv of Jews. We're not talking about kiruv of Jews. Who do we want to be makarev? The nations of the world. Ra'oi levarer divrei emet bebirur. We should tell them in truth. We have to translate the ideology to the nations. Alkein emet v'yatziv shacharit miturgemet aramit. Emet v'yatziv, we translate that into aramit. We translate to the nations of the world. So he says now, Yisrael hem kohanei Hashem ba'olam. That's the idea. What's a kohen? What's the job of a Kohen? Hello?
To lead.
The job of the Kohen is not to serve Hashem, it's to connect.
Oh.
Right. To connect God to the Jewish people. He serves as the conduit between God and the Jewish people. Correct? He does the Avodah. You want to approach Hashem? You go to the Kohen. The Kohen becomes the representative through which you find godliness.
Really?
Yeah, sure. You don't think so? You want to bring a korban. You want to do avodat Hashem. How do you do it? The ideal avodah, not your avodah. The ideal avodah. You want to study.
You bring it to Hashem. And the Kohen, who's working for Hashem.
Who needs him?
Who needs him?
Yeah.
That's what his role is.
Says who?
God.
Exactly.
So who's been doing it? Don't say you're a conduit. Says you'll do it. You'll bring the sacrifice.
One second. Job. Who offers the sacrifice?
Come.
You do the thing, right? You do the. You lean on the thing.
Yeah.
Who does all the rest?
Come.
Who slaughters the animal?
Come.
Who catches the blood?
Come.
Who pours it on the mizbeach?
Normally the Kohen.
Good. What did you do?
I put my hands on.
Shkoyah. Who offered the sacrifice?
Kohen did the work.
There you go. So.
Levi's help.
The Levi sing some nice songs. Makes it a pleasant experience.
Right.
I know.
But it's not the Kohen sacrifice.
The Levi watches the Levi.
What? What do I do?
It's not the Kohen's
sacrifice.
Wait, what is he doing? Correct. It's not his sacrifice, so what is he doing?
I paid for the thing, I brought it all the way there.
He is the funnel, that's what I'm saying. He is the conduit through which the avodah takes place. You don't think so?
I think he is a conduit.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think he's a conduit. I think he's the vehicle to do the process.
That's it? He's a functionary?
He's been given a special cover.
What's his role?
He's a cupboard.
What's his role? That's just a cupboard?
Yeah, I think it's a cupboard.
I think the Kohanim were in the place of the Bechorim, and their role was to serve as the spiritual representatives among the nations. Remember.
To do the spiritual avodah.
What?
To do the spiritual avodah.
And to encourage people.
Yes, no, because you have.
And when a person sinned. When a person sinned, what do you
have? Why didn't you have the Nesiim? Why didn't you have Kohanim?
The Nesiim are political leaders. What are you talking about? They're not religious leaders. Now, why do you think you give Truma to the Kohen? Why do you give Truma to the Kohen?
Because he has no other way of making by myself.
What, and why do you think... Let me ask you this.
He's working for Hashem. He's doing his spiritual
Why do you give your Truma to that Kohen and not to that Kohen? Because you could choose which one to give to. I'm serious. Why would you give it to Kohen A and not to Kohen B?
You're not getting it.
What?
Hashem wants it.
Hashem wants it. Why would you give the Kohen? The answer is because that was the job of the Kohen. To bring godliness to you. Right? And you supported the Kohen who you felt
really,
was...
You sought out the Kohen that you thought was the closest to Hashem. That could bring the...
No, that brought you closest to Hashem.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It wasn't not your local Kohen. You don't owe... Right. Your next door neighbor could be a Kohen. What? Your next door neighbor. You don't have to give your next door neighbor because he's closest to you. Correct?
You think people specifically went out looking for the best Kohen to give it to?
I know for a fact they gave it to the people they wanted to.
Okay.
So who would you want to give your Truma to?
Your friends.
Really? That's who you give it to? You give it to your friend? Yeah, who needs it? Okay. Anyway, the Kohen was and is the religious, spiritual, whatever you want to use the word, funnel, conduit. He is the representative of God to bring godliness to you. Likewise, we are what's called Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh. What does it mean we're Mamlechet Kohanim? Our job in the world is supposed to be the Kohanim to the world. Now, everybody understand? I mean, this is, by the way, a great answer to the classic question. Like, this is a really big problem of Jewish elitism. Do we think we're better? Okay, so now do we think Kohanim are better than Yisraelim?
Mm-hmm. No.
Nice try. What?
Yes,
no, but...
They just happen to be in a position.
They have a higher calling. They have greater responsibility. Vis-a-vis the same, that's what we believe as well. We're not better than the nations of the world. We have greater responsibility, a higher calling, more obligation, more punishment. Okay? Right. Okay, so says Rav Kook. Yisrael him kohanei Hashem ba'olam. The Jewish people, Israel, are the kohanim of God in the world. Mitzad askam bi'inyanim hapnimiyim Beinam lebein asmam, v'davar lahem, v'in elahem. Thank you. Az amzarim domim lakohanim. When we worry about ourselves, only ourselves, then we're like the kohanim. Lo be'ed yoru Torah, oh afilu be'ed yakrivu korbanah. We're not like the kohanim who are then. Their job is to teach. They're not just bringing the korbanah. Their main job was to teach. They brought korbanah 1 week a year. The other 51 weeks a year, their job was to be the spiritual teachers. They were the religious leaders. Sha'az yeshlem yachas im hazarim. Then they have relationships with the outsiders. Shehem al kopanim osim aviram. Shluchei didan Oh, Shluchei D'Rachman. Just so you know, there's a machloket. Is the Kohen Shluchei Didan our representative to God, or God's representative to us? Wonderful. Aval Shluchim Hem. But in that situation, they are Shluchim. They are messengers. Amnam Be'ed Kenisatam Le'echol Truma. When they go in to eat their Truma, Hem Michnasim Le'olam HaKohani Kulo. Who can eat Truma? Only the Kohen can eat Truma. What if he wants to share with you? Can he give you Truma? No. And if you eat it? What happens if you eat it? What kind of trouble? Karet. Right. You don't want to eat Truma. It's an Isur Karet. Okay? So it's designed in such a way, it's very kind of, Cook makes a fascinating point, a fascinating and beautiful point, that the life of the Kohen was designed in such a way that there was a period of time in which the Kohen had an outward mission. But in addition to that, there was a period of time in which the Kohanim were by force forced to focus inward only. When they ate, they could only eat with themselves. They were not allowed to welcome somebody else to be with them.
They could welcome another Kohen.
What? Only other Kohanim. Right.
They could welcome another Kohen.
Oh, sure, sure. Only Kohanim. They only ate with themselves. We're on page 3. Okay? It's really a very fascinating like sort of parallel that there's this time when they're out, but then there's time when they're totally inwardly focused. Okay? They are forbidden to participate with the stranger at all. They have to separate themselves from the stranger, from the outsider. This is the Zman Kriyat Shema of the evening. Oh, crazy. Johnny's all excited. Okay. This is the Zman Kriyat Shema of Arvit. Remember we said, what is Arvit? What is Arvit an allusion to? What is the Erev an allusion to?
The Galus.
The Galus. The Galut, the night, the darkness. So in the time of darkness, what are we worried about? We're worried about self-preservation. Goremet liyot Yisrael am levadad. So that causes Israel to be a nation alone. Kedei lahagen al kinyanav hakadoshim. In order to defend ourselves, our holy spiritual defense. Chaye olam, shesham yitbarach, Hashem yitbarach, kula yitbarach b'tocho. So he says, Alkein, therefore, yesh musag shel yachas ben kriyat shema shel arvit, l'shah shel hakohanim nichnisim le'echol b'trumatam. It's a very beautiful idea. Why does the Gemara connect? Why does the Mishnah connect this notion of the time the Kohanim eat, the night, the time of kriyat shema shel arvit is the time when the Kohanim go in to eat their truma? He says, because if you think about it, the nighttime of the Jewish people of Galut, at that nighttime, that is when we have to be like the Kohanim who do what? Who eat our Truma. And when we eat our Truma, what does that mean? That means that we have to separate and become to ourselves and not worry about spreading our mission to the world. We're not in that position. We have to worry more about protecting ourselves, strengthening ourselves, emet ve'emunah, and much less about emet ve'yatsiv. But in the daytime, which is, of course, the opposite, the daytime, the light of the redemption, says Rav Kook, then our job is not emet ve'emunah, our job is emet ve'yatsi. Then we're not nichnasim le'echol b'trumatam, but rather we're going out and we're teaching Torah, and we're offering the korbanot of the hamunam, and our hamunam is
in
the people of the world.
In all time, does that mean that before the redemption we're not meant to
be? Right. What is the redemption, though? What happens if you're... I mean, obviously, his vision, this vision of what is the Jewish people meant to be? What are we supposed to become? You know, because for so long, we've been mired in the time of the evening. For so long, we've been so inwardly focused that we don't even have a literature that's able to articulate this vision of spreading the word of God outward. You know what I'm saying? Right? Do we, like... I don't know, when you were in wherever you were living, did anybody ever say, you know, we really should reach out to the local non-Jewish population?
Non-Jewish
population.
Part of what we're living.
What?
This was just like 100 years ago.
When he wrote this?
Yeah.
Well, he had a vision of what Am Yisrael was supposed to be. Right? It's not even in our vernacular. You know what I'm saying? I always thought, I never did this, so I thought I'd get in trouble. Like, you had a lot of non-Jews who would come like to the rabbi and say, you know, I want to be Jewish. I believe in the God of the Jews. Like they didn't buy Christianity the same way. We don't buy Christianity. I don't buy it. It's hard to believe. It's like, you know, the God came to the people. That's also part of Christianity, but the other stuff we don't believe. and they're not ready to convert. They can't become. What do you tell these people? What do we have to offer for them? And the answer is, we didn't have anything to offer for them. But we weren't. We're not prepared for that.
What?
There's.
They're not coming from an awareness of even Noah Hyde laws properly.
There was a rabbi, Rabbi Haman. He actually lives in Elkanah now. When he was in Calgary, he opened a, I don't know if I call it a ministry, a Noachide ministry. And he got them off the ground. He got them started. There's a Noachide ministry.
There are lots now.
I think they ran them out of Calgary, though. What?
There's lots of stuff going on.
But not connected to Jewish people. Isn't that our mission?
There are things connected to Jewish people.
Name me an Orthodox Jew that you know of that has a ministry for Noachide Jew. For Noachide.
Is our mission to go out and help them? Is our mission to guide them?
Yeah.
Our mission to do the right thing so that when they look at see what we do.
So you're thinking about it in terms of individuals. Our mission, I believe, according to Rav Kook, was to build a nation that's so powerful and so inspiring, that's so spiritual, and so awe-inspiring that the nations of the world will look at us and say, holy Magoli, that's where it's at. It cannot be done in the galut, in the darkness. It can only be done in the day. All right. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful taste of Rav Kook, of Ein Ayav, Rav Kook's interpretation of the Gemara. Because it's like, it's lovely, it's very nice. He asks a very fundamental question. And he gives a really nice answer. And I'm not aware of anybody else who even addresses the question of why does the Gemara connect Kohanim to Birchat Kriyat Shema at all? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes when I read Rav Kook, obviously it's his chidushim. He's using the Gemara as a springboard to say things that he wants to say. The question I always have is, did he really think that's what the Gemara meant, or does it matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Okay, so one second. Yeah, I'm going to skip the next piece. Yeah, we could do, by the way, the problem with Einayi is it's really, really long. So you could do a lot of pieces and it would be, you know, you would never really finish it. And I want to do a little bit of, one second. Yeah, we'll do one more piece. We'll do one more short piece. Bet.
I have to make children.
Okay. What? I have to make children? On a Sunday night? Michday! Okay. He says, the Gemara notes that there are two types of tahara that the Kohen needs. One is the tahara of the night. When the night comes, he becomes tahor. And then there's the kapara. Now remember, the Kohen in Rav Kook's allegory is nimshal to Am Yisrael. So what about those two types of tahara that Am Yisrael has? He says the following, on the top of page 3, the left column. Shnei dvarim shonim yesh b'tahara. Purification has two elements. Hasibah shel hazman, she'ena tluya b'mitaher. Time. Sometimes you just need time. Irrespective of what the purified does. Hasibah shel hakapara tluya bo. The same thing is true of the kapara, the atonement this person can achieve. Gam Yisrael le'inyan kriyat shema, le'inyan kriyat shem Hashem b'chlal. The Jewish people connected to kriyat shema, calling out the name of God, is the same way. Obviously, when are we going to call out the name of God, according to Rav Kook? When do we shema Yisrael as a people? What does that mean, when we call out the name of God? Someone, help me. Hello, there's an allegory for. Anybody? When do we as a people, when will we call Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugodah L'Elohenu? Think real quick. You have no idea what I'm talking about? Redemption, Mashiach. When the redemption comes, then we will, as a people, call out in the name of God. Okay? Le'inyan Kriyat Shem Hashem Bichlal, Shehu Shoresh B'chiratan Shal Yisrael. This is why we were chosen. We were chosen for a reason. This is the nice thing about Rav Kook. He reminds us, like, what we're here for. Sometimes we get so stuck in the nitty-gritty. Like, you know, oh, we have to say Shema. Well, why do you have to say Shema? For what? Okay. Yeshnam Shnei Dvarim. Two things. When are we going to call out in God's name? He says there's two reasons. One, Hazman. One is time. She'imin adayin Hazman Mukhshar. If it's not the right time, could go in Kodem Matan Torah. Before the giving of the Torah. Lo haya ha'olam yachol adayin kabel or Torah. V'haya ha'olam ba'afela. Where the world was in darkness, because before the time of Matan Torah, it wasn't time. The second thing, Hakapara. The other element, obviously, is Tshuva. Tshuvatan shal Yisrael, lahavi ora shlema la'olam. So he says you need two elements You need the element of time and the element of tshuva. V'hine le'inyan kriyat shem Hashem ba'olam shetihye be'et ha'ge'ula shlema. Al zeh me'akev gam kein kapara. We need, the kapara is holding us back. Tehanu tshuva sham sheYisrael shadavar tali b'tshuva. Aval le'inyan kriyat shema shel arvit, but the kriyat shema of arvit, kriyat shem Hashem aleinu le'atzmeinu, but for us to say it for ourselves, ein davar yachol le'akev. Nothing can hold us back. Afagav de mashchitim mikru banai. My children were corrupt. Meaning, even though there are sinful Jews, nonetheless, there is still kriyat shema of arvit. We still have to be shem Hashem inside of ourselves. Velo yitzuyar ikuv ki'im zmani. And the thing that's holding us back is only temporary. Mitzad erech hazman. Kamo shiyah kodem matan Torah. Aval kapara, but this kapara, lo tuchal la'akev ala zchuyot olameinu ha'pnimi. Right, the kapara is only to bring the geula for the rest of the world. But it's not our problem for ourselves. Hadomeh la'achilat ha'kohen truma. Ve'al zeh, in this part I don't understand. Eze sefer kritut imchem. I don't know what that means. Yeshayahu. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. So again, it's like a very deep idea, this idea of the Jewish people, for us to reach our potential, that's kriyat shema of arvit. And that's a question of time. But in order for the geula to happen, it's not just a question of time, it's a question of, for the redemption to happen, it's a question of, for the Jewish people, you have to do kapara, you have to have the tshuva that the Kohen does of bringing the korban, and the allegory is Jewish people. Skip a little. We're going to totally change gears. I've got a few minutes, right? Okay, we're going to totally change gears, and we're going to do the first Ein Yaakov. The Gemara says, Ad sof Ashmura HaRishona, until the first Ashmura. Ashmura is watch, till the first watch. Okay? Divrei Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says, My Kasava Rabbi Eliezer. Like, what do you think? Why? He said, remember, they divided the night into three watches. So you can eat, you can say Shriya Shema, he said, until the first watch. So let's say, for example, just to understand, in the classic night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., the night would be divided into three. 3 4-hour periods. So Rabbi Lezer would say, you can say Kriya Shema from 6 to 10 p.m. Okay? Very good. Mike is a Rabbi Lezer. Ikasavar shalosh mishmerot have. How many mishmerot were there? If he said there were three, then say, Leima ad arba sha'ot. So 4 hours. Ikasavar arba mishmerot have leila. Leima ad shalosh sha'ot. And if he held there were four, then say until 3 hours. The Gemara says, no. The olam kesavari. Oh, he really held shalosh mishmerot havelayla. The night was divided into three. V'hakamash v'lan de'ika mishmerot berekia, v'ika mishmerot ba'ara. This teaches us that there are watches in the heavens, and there are watches down on earth. Meaning, what were the watches they had in the Beit HaMikdash? They had the Kohanim literally would do watches in the Beit HaMikdash. You're on the first watch, second watch, third watch. So the Gemara says, don't think that the Kohen did watches for nothing. They just made it up. No. There are watches for the night in the Shamayim. Can anybody tell me what that means? Neither can I. Says the Gemara. Let me continue. De Tanya. Rabbi Lezer says, Shalosh mishmerot have laila. The laila, night, was three mishmerot. Ve'alkol mishmar u'mishmar. 1 second. Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sho'eg ka'ari. And every mishmar, God sits, and he roars like a lion. Shneamar, Hashem mimaron yisha. God from on high will roar. Mimon kocho yiten kolo. Shaog yishag al navehu. God roars his roar al navehu on his. Anybody? Hello? Anybody in Tanakh? Navehu?
Pleasant things.
Pleasant things? Okay. V'siman ledavar. That sounds right. V'siman ledavar. Here's a siman. Mishmara vishona chamor no'er. The first mishmar, the donkey bleats. Shnia, klavim tzoakim. The second mishmar, dogs are barking. Shlishit, the third mishmar, tinok yonek mishte imo, v'isha misaperet im ba'ala. Right? The little child is nursing from her mother, and well, husband and wife are schmoozing. Let me see, does it go on? I think I have more. Let's stop here. Okay, that's all we need for this piece. All you have to ask yourself is, like, when you learn this in Daf Yomi, you just fly through it, and you're like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But if you read this as a serious student, you have to ask yourself a very simple question, which is? What the heck is the document?
What's the allegory?
Right. So let's just notice. This is in the Gemara. This is the first Amud in Shas. And they're going off on first of all, you should just know that there are Mishmerot in Shamayim, just like there are Mishmerot in down here. What does that mean? God is roaring up above at the end of every Mishmar. Okay? And you should know that at each of the Mishmar we have a sign. And the sign is that the donkey is bleeding or the dogs are barking. Sounds like you know that song from The Sound of Music? You know, when the donkeys bray, when the dogs bray. Really? This is Chazal. What the heck are they talking about? Okay? So I will share with you what In Yaakov says. We're going to read In Yaakov. But we'll see, I think, I'll share with you after you read it, there's something missing. And I'm looking for something more. You'll understand what I mean, hopefully, one gets the sense that Chazal were trying to say something deep and important and powerful. And even though the In Yaakov is great, it's beautiful, I think there's something more. Back to page 5. Okay? Amar HaKotev, says the writer, Shalosh Mishmarot HaVer HaLayla, Miyidiat Chiluk Mishmarot HaLalu, by since dividing up these Mishmarot, Nimshach Lanu To'elet Gadol, there's a great benefit, Hu La'ir Kol Baal Nefesh. Why did he divide it up into three? In order to awaken every spiritual person, V'lo Marlal, and to say to him, Ma Lecha Nirdam, what are you doing sleeping in the middle of the night? Rather, Kum Kra El Elohecha, get up and call out to God. Hey, night is time to sleep? What are you, nuts? And I'll explain. The kakat of a rush thou. Okay, and this is what the rush says. Vizel shona is what he means. Ra'ui l'chol yirei shamayim shiyehe mitzta'er v'do'eg. A person should be anguished and worried. Ba'otan sha'ot. At those hours of the night. V'yishvoch t'chinal korban b'et ha'migdash. What should a person do in the middle of the night? We all know there's something called tikkun chatzot. Very, very religious people would say Tikkun Chatzot, which is after Chatzot, in the middle of the night, on the Chorban. Okay? That is the first thing you should know. What Chazal were trying to say is, the night is not a time for sleep. You want to sleep? There's a great time to sleep. When is that?
You die.
When you're dead. That's correct. Okay. He says, but, ach. You're all going to go home feeling pretty guilty, as I will do. Amnam ra'ui la'ayeno simanim shenatan. What are these simanim that's going on here? Chamor no'er, like the donkey's up. V'lo yatsa yetzei mehem pitchon peh l'mal'ig al divrei chachamim zal. He says, because people reading this would mock the words of the chachamim. This is what you have in your Gemara, and this is what you have. Donkeys and dogs, this is what you have. He says, no. They came to warn every Yirei Shamayim al tvila o kriyata Torah b'sof kol echad mishlishei halayla. Everyone should be either davening or learning at each one of these points during the night. Each one of these mishmerot. Why? Va'al yelech b'derech hahergel. Don't just do what everybody does. Sheba adam, tell me if this sounds familiar. Sheba adam mimelachto. A person comes home from work. Let's get to page 8. Okay, here we go. Person comes home from work, but Erev. Comes home, he's tired. Ve'achal, ve'sava, he eats, and he's full. Ve'dashen, ve'yashen. What does he do? Goes to sleep. Really? Uba'avorze yikshela, v'yot ne'or mishnato, v'sof shlish alayla. How are you supposed to be up a third of the way into night if you stuff your face, and you surf the web, and you go to sleep? And not to do, in order to avoid this terrible way of life. Just pay attention. Why? Right? There's an animal that's the animalistic, the most animalistic of animals. And he also eats and he also sleeps. Who's up in the middle of the night at the third hour? The donkey's up, and you need to sleep? You think you worked harder than the donkey worked? He slept that stupid thing all day long, and he's up a third of the night. V'ra'oi lihit orer gam hu linhog pula tawa nafshiit litpalel lefanav kasher osim hamalachim b'shiram u'b'zimram. Just like the angels up high in their mishmar are singing whatever they're singing, wake up, a third of the night. I don't know, tonight, say it is 8 o'clock, what time is it? Time is sunrise tomorrow morning. 6. So you got 10. You got a good 10 hours, maybe 9 hours. So 10, 8, 9, 11 o'clock. Make sure you're doing something good. Oh, Natanu Elohim on the stuff. There's a second one. The Hazir Lebal Nefesh Shelo Yitpatel Hamin Haga Nahug Lit Orer Me'Ashenah Chartzot Talayla Besof Shnei Shlishim Kmo Klavim. Don't wake up, right? Only after 2/3 of the night. Ki ba'etahin einam shotkim rak tzuakim bevakesh ta'alvot klaviot uvachacharkat mezikim. The dogs, why do they get up? Because they only get up because they're hungry, because, I don't know, because they want to do whatever dogs do. The ish Yisrael, yidorer mishnato litzok o bakashat tzrachav. He should get up in the middle of the night to pray to God. Velo yitaveh el tshukot klaviot. And nor should he desire that which the dogs desire. I think, what's he alluding to? Anyone want to guess? Ta'avot klaviyot. Okay, I won't guess either. Rak lizok lefanav yitbarach. They should call out to God. V'lashir kishir malachim. Okay, and to sing like Kadosh Baruch Hu says. Okay. He goes on. V'efshar od kavana shenit. Maybe he also means v'u aldat ma'asher muzal. Midifnu behemot aretz. V'chem b'kan. It says, amar shabu l'lmod mitzakat ha'kalavim. Maybe we should learn from the dogs. Shul lidchot me'alehem ha'mazikim. Why do the dogs bark? Because the dogs can see. Anybody know this? The dogs can see the mazikim. The demons. The harmful spiritual beings. Adat mirazal, malach ha'mavet ba'ir. Right? When the malach ha'mavet is in the ear, everybody saw, it's like the Terminator. You know, the dog can tell when something's off. You know what's on the Terminator? Nobody ever saw that?
I remember that.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. You're looking at me funny. Ukviya pashut him soakim besibat hergasham. Why do they cry out? Hergasham akorit, they're cold. Osh emalechol. They don't know what to eat. Soakim ulayish muham ba'alim. On the top of the left column. Bidunahem mazon, kolshekin ra'uli adam, maskil b'machshava, ubi iyun. Leitorel hashamat nafsho, im litpalel lefonavit barach, v'im likorot Torah. Second, not third of the night. Just like that donkey in the first third of the night, he gets up and does his thing, you get up and do your thing. Just like the dogs are in the middle of the night doing their thing, you shouldn't just do what the dogs do, rather get up in the second third of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, learn and daven. O Natan Siman Gimel Lesof HaLaila, Azir Lesalik Atzmo Minhag HaNashim BeHembiim Besof HaLaila. Don't be like those animalistic people at the end of the night. Shem Sveim Mishnatam, they're not tired anymore. Choshvim, they get up, and what do they think? Manocha v'nishte. What am I going to eat? Ketchukat tinok hayonek. Okay, v'isha. Like the desires of the child and the woman. Raki kare kriyat shema v'kabal ol malchut shamayim. Rather, he should say kriyat shema v'kabal ol shamayim. V'afapish yoshev v'afila u'bedochak. Even though it's dark and pressing time, yadchigat atzma v'kabal ol malchut shamayim. Ulurimozot, and to sin, to hint at this, Natan Siba, Isha Misaperet in Baala. Okay? What's the newish notion of a woman talking to her husband? I don't know if this will make it on the tape. Why? Yeah, he says it. Kistam dvareha, ba'etahi divrei havai. Right? What does a woman talk about with her husband in the beginning of the night, right in the morning? I've actually never had this experience, because my wife is still sleeping when I get up. But so apparently, when they would wake up, what does a woman want to talk about in the morning when they wake up? Divrei havai, which is? Nourish kite. Okay, so he says, "V'his v'hazahir yasir machshavotam me'otam havalim." Forget that stuff. V'yachush l'shleimut nafsho, and you should worry about the shleimut nafsho. So he says, if you want to read more about the isha, you can read more about it. Okay, but he says, so what's this allusion to these three things, to these three simanim? What is it trying to tell you? He says, the night is not a time for sleep. The night is a time for spirituality. So instead of the chamarim bleeding, instead of the donkeys bleeding, they bleed for their donkey stuff. No, but you have to serve Hashem. And the dogs are barking for their doggy stuff, but you have to call out in the name of Hashem. And the children, the babies just want to nurse, and your wife just wants to schmooze. Sorry, honey, you got to get up and go daven. That's what he says. And that's what Chazal were trying to tell you. This is the remez of the mishmarot of the night. That a person should be on guard. That all of his time should be used for spirituality. This is what he says. This is what Ibn Khabib says in the Gemara. So everyone can understand, like, it's a very beautiful idea. It's a powerful idea. It's a nice idea. Don't waste your time. And it's a very nice Musar idea. It's a Musar. Don't waste time. even the nighttime, which I think we're all, I think most of us, I don't know, but all of us, I'll say myself, it's somewhat challenging to use the time of the night in a productive manner. You're tired. You know what I'm saying? It's like one reads this and one thinks to himself, really? Like, if I stay up through the shiur, if I wasn't giving it a shiur, I'd have trouble staying up through the shiur. If I could just make it through the shiur, that's a successful night. And now you want me to, like, get up in the middle of the night and say tikkun chatzot to learn all night. All right, it's a different level. But it's certainly something to strive for, this idea that all this time is valuable. That you have time to sleep. You're going to have time to sleep. And the night is not that time. I will just conclude by saying, it's a nice musar shmuz, but it leaves me feeling like I'm looking for something more. But Chazal wanted to tell you something. The idea of the mishmerot in the rakia, and the mishmerot of us, one gets the sense that I have the sense that there's something even deeper to this agarata that I don't understand. Everybody has suggestions? I'm all ears. I'm happy to hear. Yeah? You got something? You have a book on this?
I'll double check.
On this piece? Very nice. And we'll continue next week.